Our soul, in Psalm 124 and verse 7, is likened to a bird. Satan is likened to one who would trap that bird. And the snare is the trap, or that represents the traps that Satan would make for us. In the Bible, again and again, we are likened to a bird. And Satan is likened to a trapper, and his wiles are likened unto snares or traps. For example, the rich are warned in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 about the snare of riches, how easy it is for Satan to lure us into a trap by the trap or the snare of riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, the preacher is warned about the snare of the fowler. The preacher is warned about the traps that the devil has for him. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, all Christians are reminded of the snare of the devil. Now, may I say this morning in the beginning. Satan is after your soul. If you're not saved, he's doing everything he can this morning to keep you from coming to God. It may be he'll use the trap of a crying baby in the service, or a whispering teenager in the back on my left may be used by the devil to keep someone from listening. It may be that the temperature in the building will make you a little sleepy, and you'll not have your attention upon the sermon. It may be that you look at somebody else's life and say, I live as good a life as he does. Recently, I read an article written in a foreign country which said, America, don't send us any more missionaries. We've seen your tourists come over and gamble and drink and go to houses of prostitution. We've seen your servicemen rape our girls and ruin our country. Don't send us any more missionaries. God pity the inconsistency of the Christian life of many people. But the devil wants to put that Christian life in front of you. He wants to make for you a snare. I say this morning, if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, Satan wants your soul. But if you have been converted, if your name is written in heaven, if you are God's child, Satan is not through with you. He cannot get your soul, thank God. If you're saved, he cannot get your soul. That it's settled, you're going to heaven. But he wants your life. He wants your testimony. He wants your time. He wants your talent. He wants your zeal. He wants your attention. He wants what you have so he can rob from you your rewards. And so he's after you. And by the way, that's exactly what I do week after week. As pastor of this church, I stand behind this pulpit and I say, look out for the snare of the devil. He has a trap set for you. Listen, young people, the devil has a trap set for every one of you. Somewhere in your life, you're going to face that trap. He's trying to get you and trap you in his snare. But the same thing is true with older people. The fowler doesn't check the age of the bird he's trying to trap. The trapper doesn't just try to get the young birds. He tries to get the old birds and the middle-sized birds. And so Satan is after you. And that's why I stand in the pulpit and warn you against sin and try to warn you to heed the temptation of Satan. Why? The devil is after you. He's after you, children. He's after you, teenager. He's after you, mom. He's after you, dad. He's after you, senior citizen. He's after you, man. He's after you, woman. He's after you, young lady. Satan is trying to trap you. Now, I want you to notice several things. In fact, three things throughout the day. This morning, only one thing. I want to call your attention this morning, the bird. The bird. And three things about the bird that is being trapped. For you and I are represented by this bird. When our Lord uses things about the bird, he likens those to our own souls. In the first place, the bird is a sparrow. A sparrow. A small bird, if you please. God does not liken us to eagles, great, strong, and powerful. God does not liken us to doves, beautiful and peaceful. God does not liken us to the pretty bird. But we are the common bird, just a sparrow, if you please. A sparrow could not break the net of the trap. A little sparrow sees maybe sees some food. Maybe he sees a decoy, and I'll talk about the decoy tonight. Maybe he sees a decoy, and he hears it perhaps as it sings something. music comes from the mouth or the inside of the decoy. And the food is beautifully placed around the trap. And the little sparrow comes to that trap, not knowing that there's something inside that'll make him a slave or make him a captive. He begins to nibble just a little bit on the delicacies and the niceties and the food that smells so good and looks so good. And hears the music from the decoy that sounds so good. He does not know there lurks behind that food a trap. He does not know in just a few moments he's going to be enslaved in a cage. That food is not for his good, it's for his capture. That decoy is not for his good, it's for his capture, for his enslavement. And the little bird comes, and just like you and I, represented by the sparrow. Let me say this. That means the only hope for the snared sparrow is for someone on the outside to let him loose. There's nothing he can do to get out himself. He's caught. He's too weak. He has no hands. He has no strength. He isn't like the eagle that can fly and soar swiftly and mightily into the sky. A little insignificant sparrow. And what God is trying to show us in that little sparrow, hidden in that cage and snared for the fowler, he's trying to show us that just as a sparrow cannot get out of his cage, there's nothing that man can do to save his own soul or deliver himself from his own sin. It takes something from the outside. It takes somebody from the outside. Notice, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Not it, not you, not another sparrow. He, God, shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That means that a person who's bound by sin cannot be unbound by joining Alcoholics Anonymous. That's just a bunch of birds in the same cage trying to help each other out. But you can't get out that way. That means if you're bound by liquor, the answer is the gospel and power of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That means if you're bound by dope, the answer is in the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The answer is the gospel of Jesus, the freeing, liberating power of the gospel of Christ. That's what America needs to solve, our dope problem. Not a bunch of commercials on television and a bunch of ads in newspapers and famous people saying, don't get hooked. In God's dear name, the only thing that'll ever save this nation from the bondage of liquor, and the bondage of sin, the bondage of sex, and the bondage of dope is the gospel and the power of that gospel through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's a little bird. He's caught in the snare. Representing our soul, too weak to get out on our own. Let's suppose that the bird who's in that little cage decides to become a better bird. He says, I'll never again listen to a decoy saying, he's still in bondage. Let's suppose he says, I'm going to take a bird bath. They put a little bird bath inside that cage. I'm going to take a bird bath. I'll be the cleanest bird in any cage in the whole world. He's still in the cage. Let's suppose there are two birds in the cage, and one bird decides to sprinkle another bird. He's still in the cage. Let's suppose another little bird flies up on the outside and says, we formed in a council of birds. He's still in the cage. Amen. Suppose one bird comes up and says, confess what you did to me. Tell me, he says, Father Bird. I went where I shouldn't have gone. I ate some food I shouldn't have eaten. I listened to the music of the decoy. I got where I shouldn't have gotten. And I confess to you, Father Bird, I confess to you that I did wrong. He's still in the cage. Now you listen to me. God likens your soul to that bird. One sparrow's not going to free another sparrow. And by the way, I don't care if you are a custodian at the bank, or if you are a garbage collector on the streets, or the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, or the Pope at Rome, or in the College of Cardinals, you're still as weak as a bird to save yourself. You've got to be saved by somebody outside the cage, not another bird. You've got to be saved by someone on the outside. But there's something else important about this, I think, and that is the sparrow is the bird chosen, so insignificant. For example, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, and Luke 12, 4 through 7, we find that a bird, a little sparrow, was sold two for a farthing. A farthing was a quarter of a cent. That was what the price of sparrows was. The Lord didn't make you feel very important when he called you a sparrow, did he?
Oh, you want to be a blue jay, don't you? You want to be a robin redbreast, don't you? You want to be a dove or an eagle? Well, the truth is, you're more like buzzards to me, but you want to be a beautiful bird. God says you're a sparrow worth 1/4 cent for the sparrow. He says you can have 5 for 2 farthings. That means you get 5 sparrows for 0.5 cent. Not much. And yet, our Lord reminds us in Matthew 10:29, when he says, "And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father." You know, I noticed something last night I'd never noticed about that verse. Not one sparrow shall fall. I've always said, well, the Father takes notice. And the Father does take notice when a sparrow falls to the ground. But it doesn't say that. It says, not one sparrow shall fall without your Father. What does that mean? It means your Father is going to have to permit the fall if you fall. It means your Father is going to have to decide if you fall. And that means I am as safe as my Father wants me to be safe. And the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God holds me in his hands. But if our Father takes note of that little sparrow, I was driving. I hardly ever get real blue. Sometimes I get a little sort of gray, but I hardly ever get real blue. But one day, it's been several years ago, I was on bottom. I don't know why, but I was on bottom. I drove a little Renault Dauphine. Max Palmer used them for skates, but I, little Renault Dauphine car, I was driving down Fayette Street, right across over there, and I was really down. And this street was one way then. I drove around this way, and I was really, really low. And I thought nobody understood my problems, and I thought nobody really understood me. Maybe nobody does. But I thought that. And I suddenly, I was driving about 30 miles an hour. That's how low I was. I was driving under the speed limit. And so suddenly a little sparrow flew out in front of my car. And I don't like to hit anything with a car, but I couldn't stop soon enough, and I hit the sparrow. And I stopped the car, got out, and went around to the front of the car, and there was a sparrow just fluttering its wings for the last time. And it dawned on me what the dear Lord Jesus said, that he notes every sparrow that falls from the sky, and he orders every fall of every sparrow. And I stood there and clapped my hands and blessed God and said, thank God, if he knows that little sparrow there, he knows about me. And I think that's why the Lord uses the sparrow. He says, you're like a sparrow. He said, a little sparrow coming to the snare, not knowing he's about to be trapped, not knowing he's about to be caught. And he said, chooses the insignificant bird, if you please. And unimportant and yet important to God. God knows this morning if you're going to the hospital this week. God knows this morning about that little girl going to have open heart surgery on Tuesday. Did you know he'll send some angels there to the hospital and hover over that little girl and protect that sweet little girl? God knows this morning if your heart is broken. God knows this morning if you have cancer in your body. God knows this morning if you don't have enough money to pay car fare home. God knows this morning if you have a burdened heart or a need or a broken heart. God knows that, and so he uses it. God knows if you're lonely, and God knows if you're sad. But there's something else about the sparrow, about the bird, and that is he chooses the ignorant bird. Ignorant bird. When God said, I want somebody to represent Jack Hiles, he said, I want to choose an ignorant bird. When I want somebody to represent the soul of man, I choose an ignorant bird. Now, what does it mean? It means the sparrow thinks he knows what's best, but he doesn't. And the sparrow comes up and he says, boy, oh boy, look at that food. Boy, and I'm hungry too. He begins to eat the food. He gets a bit closer and a bit closer and a bit closer and a bit closer till before you know it, the door's pulled down and the sparrow's inside. He's been trapped. He's ensnared. And that's the way the devil always does it. Listen to me. Others have fallen into the same snare. It looks like that little sparrow would know best. Others of his other sparrows have fallen into the same snare. You know, it's an amazing thing to me why the human race can't learn from the human race. Listen to me. I've been preaching 28 years. I have had tens of thousands of people come to my office in these years. Tens of thousands of people have come and said, Brother Hiles, I've been drinking, or my husband's been drinking, and our lives are ruined, and there's nothing to live for, and we've tried suicide.
Why in the name of common sense can't the rest of you realize the birds and souls and lives and homes and health that have been wrecked by liquor and leave the dirty, filthy stuff alone? Amen. I can't understand it. Good night, so many have been ensnared by it. So you say, I'll just nibble. That's what the bird said. I'll have a social drink. That's what the bird said. I'll have a martini once before I eat supper at night. That's what the bird said. I'll have a Bloody Mary. Brother, don't you even have a Scabby Susie. Amen. I'll have a Bloody Mary. I'll not be an alcoholic. That's what they all said. Let me tell you, my dear friend, there has not been one person in 28 years walk into my office and say, thank God, I started off with a martini or a cocktail. I started off with a little beer. But thank God, my life is richer. My home is happier. It's more exciting, more thrilling. I have more peace. I have more joy because I've become a drinker through all these years. No, sir. Look at the blood on the highways caused by the dirty liquor traffic. Look at the boys and girls left homeless by the dirty liquor traffic. Look at the lives ruined and health ruined and countenances ruined and beauty spoiled and handsomeness and ruggedness taken away by the liquor traffic. Would God we had enough sense to look at all the birds. Look, if I were a bird and I saw a little bird nibbling on some crumbs and I saw all of a sudden that little bird get caught in a snare and I saw it trying to get out, fluttering its wings and shaking and high and singing for help and for safety. And I'll watch another bird walk the same path, take the same crumbs, get caught in the same snare. And I watch another bird to eat the same crumbs and walk the same path and get in the same snare. It looks like to me I'd have enough sense not to eat the same crumbs and get in the same snare. Look at this man here in the middle this morning who has an arm off. A bartender for 20 years. Owned 2 or 3 taverns in this area. Went all over the bottom of sin. Life was wrecked and ruined. Decency gone. All hope gone. Dreams broken. Air castles gone. Look at those men up there this morning who've been tempted by the temptation of sin. It looks like to me any of you young people could look and see and have enough sense not to eat the crumbs the devil has to offer with which he lures you into his trap. Poor little ignorant bird. Sometimes you, in the wintertime, you watch the birds around a trap. I've seen birds around a trap. It seemed they knew a trap was there. It seemed they knew a snare was there. But I've watched those birds on the snow, on the ice, as they would tiptoe close to the trap, trusting themselves around the trap for a few crumbs. Brother, you hang around the trap, you'll get in the trap. Only one drink, he said. Today he walks the streets an alcoholic. Only one night in the wrong crowd, she said. Today she sits in this service with a baby to whom she's given birth, whom she does not know because she became an unwed mother. Only one wrong school, he said. Not me. I'll go to a heathen school, but I'll stand for God, and I'll be a good Christian, he said. Today, he walks in sin, enslaved, ensnared by the evil one. Only one unsaved date I'll have, said the young lady. She married a heathen boy. She's lived in misery ever since. Only one night of petting, said the young lady. This morning, she wonders where her baby is, being reared in some other home in a distant state. The rabbis used to say to the Nazarites, who promised not to touch any kind of grape juice or wine at all, the rabbis used to say to those Nazarites, go about! Go about! Do not even pass through the vineyard! Now I say this morning, if you don't want to get in the snare, don't get close to the snare. If you don't want to get in the snare, don't eat the devil's crumbs at the front door of the snare. Poor little ignorant bird. But you know what happens? They say, bird lovers say, that sometimes the older bird will warn the younger bird about the snare. And the little bird is warned and not allowed to go near the snare. But, says the papa bird, But, says the older bird, I'll go and gather some food for us from near the snare and bring it back to you. Look out there, Dad. The snare will get you too. Look out there, Mom. The snare will get you too. Satan knows no age limit on his snares. He'll snare the old as well as the young. And you hang around it. Anybody here ever go fishing for crappie or brim and some little bait suckers get all your worms? I hate those little things with a passion. Nothing in this world ruins my disposition quite as much as to put a worm down in the water and watch some little old brim go. You get right up near the hook and there goes your worm right off. And so the next time you get the worm and you squeeze it real tight, you stick the hook all the way through the worm. I mean, through the tonsils and the down through the esophagus and down through the stomach and through the liver and through the gallbladder and all the way down through the leg and out the toe. And boy, if he gets that worm, he's going to have to do some tall sucking. You know what he does? Some tall sucking. He gets that worm. But I tell you what, I've said many a time, I've said there's no brim as stubborn as I am. And I think you'll agree to that. No brim as stubborn as I am. And I said, little fella, or little gal, whichever you are, you just keep on sucking. I'll get you after a while. And I have given 24 worms for one little 4-ounce brim fish because he kept on sucking. The devil says, here's my lure. Look at that pretty worm floating across. Here it is. Look at it. Hey, come and get it. And you say, boy, that looks good. Man, wouldn't I like to go with him? I know he's unsaved and he gets drunk, but boy, he's the handsomest fellow in school. And I know that a lot of folks have become alcoholics, but I'll just take one little sip here and there. And your eyes get bigger. And your appetite gets bigger. But what you don't stop to realize, brother, is everything the devil has to offer has a hook inside of it. It does. And so, this poor, ignorant little bird, older bird, listen, let me tell you something. You adults may think there's a double standard between young birds and old birds, but that's not in the Bible. How can you dads, take little Junior when he's 13 years old and gets out behind the barn? Barn, no barns anymore. Gets out behind the smokehouse, no smokehouse. Gets out behind the garage and smokes a cigarette. You bring him in and you spank him and say, okay, you're grounded for a week. Ground yourself, you cigarette sucker. It's wrong for Junior to smoke. It's wrong for you to smoke. That little child takes a little bit of whiskey and drinks it, or a little bottle of beer and drinks it. He's underage. The very idea of lowering the beer, whiskey age, or liquor age down to 19. It ought to be raised to 99. It's wrong for Junior. It's wrong for Dad. There's no double standard for God. Now, may I say again, if that little bird is rescued, it must be rescued by someone, not a bird, and someone outside. This morning, if you're bound by some sin, it's going to take someone outside who's not a bird. Now, you follow me. There's only one person who's ever walked the shores of this earth. There's only one person whose feet have ever set foot on this earth who is not a bird, who is not in the same condition we're all in. Listen, the Pope in Rome this morning, if he's not born again, the moment he dies, his soul's going to be in hell. This preacher who preaches you this morning, if he dies without God, and he won't, bless God, but if he did, his soul would be in hell. Why? We're all in the same shape. That's why. We're born the same way. We're born in sin. We're born without God. We're born speaking lies. We've got to get born again if we go to heaven. And the only way you get born again is for someone who's never been in the cage or never had to be in the cage. Let me see if I can illustrate. 15 years ago, about in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a lion got loose from the city zoo. Not like this cobra snake that got loose over here in Illinois, they found out was a chicken snake. But I'll be honest with you, when I see a snake, I don't stop and ask him whether he likes cobras or chickens. I mean, I just don't care. I don't, as the fellow said, well, you can tell a grass snake from a certain other kind of poison snake because he's got a certain thing on his belly. I'm not going to check his belly, brother.
But anyway, this lion got loose in Oklahoma City. The entire city was gripped by fear. They tried every way in the world to capture that lion. They could not do it. Some saw him but couldn't capture him. No method they could think of would capture that lion. Somebody thought of this idea. Get a cage. Open the door of the cage. Put a trap on it. And put a little lamb inside the cage. The lion is bound to be hungry. He's been gone for a while. And so they got a big cage and put it in the whereabouts of that lion. They put that little lamb in the cage in a trap door so when he went through the door, it would break the trap and the lion would be ensnared. The lion came and saw that little lamb. He was hungry. He saw the lamb but didn't notice the trap. That's what you do. He saw the lamb and thought, I'll get my teeth into that lamb. Boy, there's a good meal. Mutton is my favorite food. And the lion goes for the lamb. He goes inside that cage. He tears that little lamb to pieces and eats that lamb's body. And there's nothing but wool and bloody wool on the floor of the cage. The lion all of a sudden filled himself and started to leave. But he found the door was shut. He was caught. There's another lion that's loose today. Peter said, Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. 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 Satan is after you. But I know a way he can be caught. A lamb was placed in a cage. The lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, even Jesus Christ. And Satan went to the cross, Jesus went to the cross, and Satan saw him there, the lamb. He took him, tore him to shreds, nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head, spear in his side, crucified, the Lamb of God, killed. Satan thought he had him. But when Satan turned to walk out the door after that lamb was destroyed, Satan found he was trapped. This morning, your safety from the lion depends on your taking the Lamb of God as your Savior. Here's something else about the little bird in closing. This little bird, until he realizes he's trapped, he never gets frightened. Until he realizes he's trapped, he never gets frightened. And all of a sudden he tries to fly out. The door is shut. He's ensnared. He flutters his wings. He chirps louder. He says in bird language, let me out. I'm not made to be in a cage. I'm made to soar through the heavens. And so are you. You are not made to be in a cage. God made you for himself. God wants you to go to heaven. God didn't make you to live in sin. God didn't make you to live fleshly lives. God didn't make you to be ensnared. God didn't make you to be a sinner. God made you for fellowship with his own dear self to soar into the heavens and fellowship with a God who loves you and made you. But you're ensnared until you're willing to fly through the door that's opened by him who's on the outside. Even God's Lamb. Are you a slave this morning? Is your soul snared, ensnared this morning? Do you know that you're saved? Have you been set free as a bird by being born again? You say, preacher, I'm in sin. I want out. Well, turning over a new leaf won't do it. And getting baptized won't do it. And joining a church won't do it. You can be a confirmed bird in the cage. You can be a baptized bird in the cage. A reformed bird in the cage. Another bird in the cage won't help you either. Somebody who's not a bird, not in your condition, has to open the door. Now the door's been opened by Jesus Christ. But you will still be in the cage, even though the door's opened, until you decide to fly out. One day I came in the house, Would you believe what was in there? A sparrow. We called them chee-chee, is where I came from. Anybody ever called a sparrow a chee-chee? I used to get a shooter and go chee-chee hunting. Chee-chee hunting with a shooter. And chee-chee hunting. And the chee-chee got in the house. And that thing was so scared. I mean, flew from one window, the other window, the next window, butted his or her head up against the door. Frightened. We were frightened. Bird was frightened. And I went to the door. And I opened the door wide. And I said, "Sparrow, this way." He didn't leave. He could leave, but he didn't. The door was open, but he didn't take it. "Hey, leave!" I'd go over and I'd get a room and just take it. Push him over there. He wouldn't leave. He wanted to be free, but he wouldn't fly through the one door that was open. If you want to be free from sin this morning, you're going to have to fly through the one door that's open. And that door is Jesus Christ. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonder working power in Jesus. And if you'll come through that door, he'll make you a child and take you to heaven when you die. Let us bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're just as weak as a little sparrow. Insignificant, worth a quarter of a cent apiece. Weak, too weak to get out of our snare. We have to come and say, "O thou the great God of the universe, who didst give thy Son in our place, let us out. Let us out. Let us out." I pray this morning that people in this room shall realize that the door is open in that snare. He who alone can open the door has opened the door. If we'll just go through it, we can be set free. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. No teenagers are allowed to leave the service until baptism is finished, even if you have a bus route. We've been having a lot of folks walking out the service. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Find yourself seats, please. This service is for all of us until the last person is baptized. Now, while our heads are bowed, how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I have not been set free from the snare of the fowler. I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I understand it now. That little bird in that cage, that's so easy to understand. He cannot free himself. Another bird cannot free him. Someone from the outside stronger than a bird has to free him, and that someone is Jesus. I've never taken time to settle this matter. I do not know that I'm saved, but I want to know. I want to know that I'm saved. Brother Hiles, pray for me that I may know that I'm saved. That I may know that if I died today, I would go to heaven." On the main floor, the lower floor, how many would lift your hand and say, "Pray for me. I want to be a Christian and know it. I want to go to heaven and know it. Pray for me." On the main floor, God bless you, lady. God bless you. And God bless those two back in the back and that one back there. God bless those. And God bless you here. And God bless you, sir, with the K-beam. Yes. Ah, these grown people. God bless you. Who else on the main floor would say, "Brother Hiles, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me." God bless you, sir. I see you. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me. Yes, God bless those two back in the back. God love you both. Who else would say, "Include me in the prayer"? "I want to know that I'm free. I want to know that I'm saved." Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. God bless you, son. God bless you. Who else on the main? God bless you back in the back. I see you way back in the back. Oh, these adults, many of them. Who else, though? Children, teenagers, young people, boys and girls, adults. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? The balcony on my left, you'd say, "Pray for me that I may know that I'm free from sin and saved all the way to heaven." The east balcony, would you raise your hand for prayer, please? In the center balcony, yes, God bless you. In the center balcony, would you say, "Pray for me that I may know that I'm saved and ready to meet God"? Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you. The balcony on my right, that's the south balcony. God bless you, little lady. And God bless you on the back row. And I see you. God bless you. Who else would say, "Include me in the prayer"? I want to be free. Would you be free from the burden of sin? God bless you, little lady. God love you. Who else in the balcony on my right, the south balcony, say, include me in the prayer. Back to the main floor. Who else on the main floor would say, pray for me, I want to be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who else would say, include me in the prayer? God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you on the back, sir. Lady, I see you. God bless those two way back in the back. God bless you both. Who else on the main floor? Pray for me, I want to be saved. Now listen carefully. Every hand that was lifted, please listen carefully. Oh, please, picture yourself this morning as that little bird in that cage. Now picture what you can do to get out. The door is shut. There you are, the bird in the cage. Suppose you decide to become a better bird, you're still in the cage. Suppose you become a baptized bird, you're still in the cage. Suppose another bird comes and you confess your sins to him, you're still in the cage. Suppose you join an association of caged birds, you're still in the cage. What can you do? Nothing you can do. There you are in the cage, in the snare. The devil's got you. The devil's got you. What can you do? Oh, you've got to hope that somebody comes by that's strong enough to open the door of that cage. And someone did come by. His name is Jesus. He opened the door. All you've got to do is come out of the door to him and say, Jesus, this morning I trust you as my hope for freedom and heaven. Right where you are, would you say this prayer to God? Say it now. Oh, God, I do come to Jesus now for deliverance and salvation. Would you say it? He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Would you come to him now? Would you? Would you make October 7, 1973 the day of days for you? Would you? All right, if you would, here's what I want you to do. In a moment, we're going to stand and the choir is going to sing. When the choir sings, I want you in the balcony or on the main floor, wherever you are, come to the nearest aisle or the nearest stairs. Come down the stairs or down the aisle. Young folks, bow your heads back in the back. Come down the stairs, down the aisle. And let me know this morning that you are receiving the only way out of the snare. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's the way out. He's the way out. Won't you come and trust him this morning and be set free? Then if you're here this morning and you've been set free and want to follow Christ in baptism, you come. If you want to join this church by transfer membership, you come. No one will leave the service. Absolutely no one. The choir is going to sing on the first stanza, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Come free this morning. The door is open. Little sparrow, the door is open. Don't keep flying around the room. The door is open. Don't fret. The door is open. Don't worry and flutter your wings needlessly. The door is open. Jesus is the door. Would you stand, please? Everyone standing. And as the choir sings on the first stanza, leave your seat and come to the aisle. Down the aisle to the front. Make sure this morning you're going to heaven when you die. Would you come? Come now as the choir sings the first stanza. Come on.